Praise God this morning. Thank the Lord for being with everyone here today. It's like Linda was saying back there, and all of us know this. Everybody know this that's been around us and talked to any family members that are lost. I mean, things have changed, but they haven't. Jesus is still in the saving business. Don't get me wrong. Jesus can still save to the uttermost. But it is getting worse and worse. It's harder and harder to talk to people. And it shouldn't surprise us because the Bible says as it gets closer to that time, it's going to get that way. I don't know how much longer this is going to go on, but I can just tell you it will get worse. I mean, it could be another 100 years for all I know. But I'm just here to tell you this point. Sometimes I stand amazed and sometimes I just say, Lord, just come, Lord. Come, Lord. You know, it's whenever the last individual, I believe this, that is going to be saved in the age of grace is going to be saved, the eastern sky is going to be split. It's going to be split. And I believe we're getting closer and closer to that time. Amen. I'm going to be over in 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 16. Sometimes it feels like we beat a dead horse as preachers. You know what I'm saying? You ever been? But anyway, God has just dealt with me on something here, and I believe it's something that's justified. But anyway, very familiar scripture. It's 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. And whenever you get there, please, let's just stand and let's read God's word together. If you're able this morning, let's just do that. If you're able to stand, let's read it together. 1 Samuel 16, 11. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Father, for all that you've done. I want to thank you, Father, for your mercy. Father, I want to thank you for your grace, Lord. I want to thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. I just cannot thank you enough, Lord. I want to praise you for what the prayers answered. Father, I want to praise you even if they're not answered the way that I want. I want to praise you for all of it, Lord. And Father, I want to praise you for the church this morning. I want to praise you, Father, for those that have come here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would open up their minds, open up spirit, Lord. And Father, put the anointing upon me this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that the message would go out the way that you would have it, exactly the way that you would have it. Get me out of the way, and Lord, we will praise you this morning, and Father, we'll give you the glory for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Again, I'm going to do some rehashing here. It's been said here lots of times. Greg has went over this, and he went over it great. The Lord has just impressed something out of that scripture right there that I want to try to get across here this morning. Through him, by him only, not by myself. And in the verse I just read, we find the prophet Samuel. We find him as he commanded by God. He goes to the house of Jesse. He's trying to find the next king, right? That's what he's sent there to do. He's trying to find. And it said this, And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thou thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and I have provided me a king among his sons. This is why Samuel has went there. And I got to thinking about that, and I looked at scripture and said, Lord, well, we've preached about this a lot, and he just kept showing something to me. I want to rehash some points of why they got to this point. Why they're at this point. Anyone who's been around church knows this story any length of time. You know what this is about, what's going on here. Saul had disobeyed God, and God is now taking the kingdom from him and from his family. This is just a quick synopsis right there. Now I'm going to get into a little bit more detail of it here shortly. And so, and to me, what I seen when I read these scriptures, and Greg has taught this, and as anybody's ever taught this, what I see happening, the reason why he took this from him was because of refusal to do. Refusal was one thing, and I'll get into that more. Compromise, and people wanting to play by their own rules. That was what I could see. And it just wasn't one entity here that was doing this. We see refusal to submit to God's will by the leaders, right? He was the leader. Saul was the leader. We see the refusal of him to submit to God's will. We see that. We see a leader that was full of compromise. We see a leader that played by his own rules. He wanted to do, like I said, he wanted to do things his own way. Saul was a total train wreck. He was, and it's just, you read about it, you see it there. He was a total train wreck. In chapter 13, he offered sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to offer. Again, I'm going over stuff you've already heard, but I've got a point. I'm not even into the meat of the sermon yet. And in chapter 15, he disobeyed God again. What did he do? He was supposed to destroy the Amalekites. I mean, he's supposed to destroy them utterly, and he didn't do it. So leadership refused to submit to the will of God. They refused. They were full of compromise, and leadership was playing by their own rules. But now listen, not only were the leaders that way, the people of that nation also refused to live godly lives or live for God in their lives. We understand that. We see compromise. We see refusal from them as well to do the will of God. We also see them wanting to play by their own rules. 1 Samuel 8:7, it says this, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, that they have rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Anybody that's been around here the last few weeks understands why they wanted a king. God said, "I'm your king." God said that, but they said, no, we want a king like all the other nations around it. So this is what God is telling Samuel. He said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And praise God, you know what? We see people rejecting God. And I could go, we can see what's going on today. I'm not going to go down that path today, but I want you to understand today that we can see that, right? 1 Samuel 8:1-3, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old," and also, I got a trifecta here. It was the spiritual leaders of that time too. Samuel failed God as well. You remember the story over in Samuel 8:1-3. "And when it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel, and the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abi, and they were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in the ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment." That's what the Bible says. So we see the leaders, we see the people, and we see the religious people of that time, all of them doing pretty much the same thing. You see, I wrote this down, and the Lord had shown me, there is no room for human reasoning whatsoever. There's no room for human rationale. There's no room for compromise when God lays out a plan. Can I have an amen? He lays out a plan. There's no room for any of that stuff. And they thought that they could do it the way they had to. God laid it out. He dictated a plan. He intended them to follow. 1 Samuel 12:14-15. "If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both ye and the king also that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your father." See the thing? God had a plan laid out. If you do A, B, and C, he said, "I will do A, B, and C for you." Brothers and sisters, it still works the same way today. Absolutely. He's got a plan for it. But Saul and Samuel and the people wanted to manipulate God's plan right to the point. That's what they wanted to do. God's seen all of this, and God said, "I am not putting my stamp of approval on any of it." Amen. That's what he said. God said changes need to be made. I'm going to get to that here shortly. I don't think it's a coincidence that in this country today and in this nation today, we see the same kind of things taking place. And I'm here to tell you, God is not going to put his stamp of approval on any of this today. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to go into much detail on it today, but I'm just here to tell you, he's not going to put a stamp of approval on it. Any nation that totally trusts in human reasoning, any nation and human rationale, I'm here to tell you, will not be blessed by God. It just ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. As a matter of fact, just the opposite will happen. Jeremiah 17:5. "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." He's going to curse it. Absolutely. That's just the way it is. That's the way the Bible says it's going to happen. So that's what's going to happen. But the scripture also says this, and I love this. In Psalm 20:45-8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger, and he is great of mercy. That's the hope that we all have today, because he is that way. And God had another plan. The one who was perfect, he was going to give the kingdom to one who was not perfect by any means, but he was going to be one who was willing to do God's will to the best of his ability. He's going to give it to David. In Acts 13, 32, and when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. I've preached about this before. David was not perfect by any means. But the thing that David did more than anything else was he was willing to perform God's will to the fullest. He was willing. So I read this morning. I read down through this verse. And I said, God, I said, we've already rehashed all this. So what do you want me to get out of it? What are you showing me out of this? As Samuel was in the house of Jesse looking at the next king, he had all seven of Jesse's sons pass before him, prayed in front of him, and then to him to see which one God wanted. Of course, we all know this, none of them were the ones, right? None of them were the ones. He asked Jesse, is there any other sons? He said, we got one more. And that, he said, we all know that was David. And we all know that story. We've probably heard it preached backwards and forwards. But God showed me something. The Spirit impressed upon me. And as they did, listen to me. When they went to go get the king, no one sat down. Did you notice that? No one sat down. Let's read that scripture again here. 1 Samuel 16, 10 through 11. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. Till he comes hither. Brothers and sisters, we are not to sit down till the king comes.
Amen.
I told myself, Lord, that'll preach. We will not sit down until the king comes. Praise God, I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, we are not to sit down because the king has not come yet. He has not come. I said, in Acts, over in Acts 1:11, which also, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And praise God, he is not back yet. Listen to me, this world is in a mess. We are living amongst the crazies nowadays, but praise his name, God, praise the name of the Lord this morning. He is not come back. We are to stay standing. We are staying on the throne. We are stay ahead. Praise his name this morning. We are to stay where we need to be. I know it looks bad, and I know people aren't going to want to hear what we have to say all the time, but I'm here to tell you this morning, the king hasn't come back yet. You keep standing this morning. Brothers, we cannot sit down until the king comes. We cannot afford for our nation fixated on anything else. We can't have our gaze fixated on anything else except the eastern sky, waiting on him to come back, or he's going to take us out of here as individuals. He hasn't come back yet. Praise him. Well, the world goes to hell in a handbasket, and it is. I'm here to tell you this morning, it is. Praise God. We are to stay focused. Or what until the king, the true king comes back someday. Praise his name. When I said, Lord, I said, praise you. And like I said, I have looked at that scripture, looked at it, and I looked at it Wednesday, and I say, Lord, what do you got in this for me? And I prayed, and he said, pay attention to what I'm telling you, Dave. Pay attention. He hasn't come yet. Keep standing. As we see right before called wrong, we see him calling wrong, right, right, wrong. I mean, listen, and we watch this world in turmoil. The king hasn't come yet to set it straight. My Bible says one day he's coming to make all things right. And praise his name this morning, he hasn't come yet. Keep on standing, brothers and sisters. Keep on standing. We got to keep standing until the king comes. Proverbs 24:11. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, those that are ready to be slain. Listen, brother, we have a world out there that, listen to me, this is what that means. We are to do our best to rescue them that are being taken away to death, that are stumbling to the slaughter. I'm here to tell you this morning, there are people that are stumbling to the slaughter. They have no idea what direction they're going down. We have churches, as Linda said, out there that are preaching stuff to them that is not right, that is not of the Bible, and they are letting them stumble right into hell. Brother, we are called, born again, bought by the blood Christians. We are to stand until the king comes. And he said he didn't even realize. And some of them don't even realize they're even heading that way. Some of them don't even realize it. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Listen, they're stumbling for the slaughter. And if Jesus would come back today without the blood of Jesus being applied, without the Holy Spirit flowing through their veins, they are lost. They are undone. They are headed for a devil's hell. And praise God, we are to stand until the king gets back here. When I look at 1 Samuel 16:11, I thought, what was the opposite of standing? What's the opposite of standing? It's setting. Do you know what setting means? And I got to look and, Lord, thank you, Lord. It's a mentality of completion. It's a mentality of complete. Is anybody in here completed? Are you done yet? No. We're not supposed to be setting on our holy backsides while the world's going to hell. Praise God, we're supposed to be standing. We're supposed to be going after every one of them that we can go after. Praise his name this morning. Praise God. Listen, setting is a mentality of completion. Hebrews 1:3, praise, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of his majesty on high. Praise God, setting down is completion. Jesus completed his task. We're still standing. We still got work to do. We're not to set down, brothers and sisters. We're not. We haven't completed nothing yet. We haven't done a thing yet. Praise God until he comes back to take his church out of here. Praise his name this morning. Jesus completed his mission. He completed it. Setting is a mentality of completion. When you and I think to ourselves, well, I'm just going to set down. I'm already done what God wanted me to do. We ain't done anything. We're not complete yet. We're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes upon the Savior. Amen? Amen. Praise his name. Christians, we don't quit. We need to be standing right. We need to be standing until the king calls us home or until he takes this church out of here. We're not to become lethargic in the work of God. We're not supposed to do that. Let us not be weary in well-doing. But ye, brothers, be not weary in well-doing. That's what the scripture tells us. As long as there are lost folks in Jackson County, as long as there are lost folks in West Virginia, as long as there are lost folks in the United States of America and around this world, we cannot afford to sit down. Amen. Praise his name. The king hasn't come yet. Don't sit down yet. Our job's not over. It's time to get up and it's time to get going. It's time to do what. Let me say this. In Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is my first sermon I ever preached, right here. Back in, 1983, 6, somewhere in there, I don't know. That's the first sermon I ever preached, was on that verse, was on that scripture right there. Listen, God showed me something different on this the other morning. Listen to me. Make sure how you're standing. Amen? We need to be standing. We need to be doing God's work, but make sure it's a good work. Make sure it's a good fight. Make sure it's doing things the right way. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Make sure that you're standing for the right thing. Make sure that we need to be standing till the King comes, but make sure we're standing upon the right things. Amen. Make sure scripturally and spiritually you're standing where God wants you. Also notice the last part of Psalms 1, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. There are those who will continually pick at everything that goes on in churches nowadays. They'll pick at the sermons. They'll pick at the whenever the Spirit moves. They'll pick at this. They'll pick at that. I'm here to tell you this morning. That's why he's saying you need to be standing until the King comes, because you know what? Idleness, you know what it is? It's the devil's workshop. Praise his name. So don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's just as plain as it gets, brothers and sisters. Folks who continually mock, who continually critique anything, have already sat down as far as I'm concerned. If they sit back there and they're continually mocking, continually critiquing, continually saying, well, they shouldn't do it this way, they do it this way, I think they've already sat down. We need to be standing on the firing line going forward with the Lord. Folks, the King hasn't come up, hasn't come yet. We need to keep on standing. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's coming a point in time, brothers and sisters, whenever the day of grace, the era of grace is going to be over. And brothers and sisters, then from that point on, it's going to be hard for anybody to get to heaven then. You're going to have to do it by your works then. Right now, it's by grace. And praise his name. I thank God this morning for his grace that saved me one day. I'll tell you one thing, brother said, you're not looking at somebody here that was a choir boy one time. You're not looking at some Boy Scout right here. When Jesus saved me, he saved me from the depths of sin. And I praise his name for that this morning. But I've got to keep on walking. Samuel said, for we will not sit down until he comes hither. He was talking about David, of course. But what was David? He's a picture of Christ. Amen. Yes, he was. He's a picture of Christ. When you think about that statement, it's a statement of allegiance, right? It's an allegiance to the King. He's talking about loyalty. To stand was a position of allegiance. Elijah said it best. Whenever Elijah said this, he said, how long will thou halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know the saddest part of that verse of Scripture? The people answered him not a word. You know, that's the thing. They didn't have no allegiance. They didn't even answer him a word. You know, the people answered him not a word. You don't think it hits home today? In some churches, you preach against abortion, you preach against homosexuality, you preach against living together out of wedlock, or drinking alcohol, or going to places Christians shouldn't go, and a lot of people will answer you not a word. Amen or oh my. Because you know what? They don't want to. We need to stir up some stuff sometimes. Yes, we do. Praise his name. Because a lot of people, you know, they answer, the King hasn't come yet. Oh, so praise his name. We need to get up. You've got to stand for something or you fall for anything, right? You got to stand. Where's our allegiance at this morning? Are we aligned with the King this morning? Whether it's something small or big, we have got to be faithful. Amen. I found out, praise God, I got to be faithful in the small things as well as the big things sometimes. And that is the same way with everybody in here this morning. We need to be faithful in the small things sometimes. What is faithful in which that was? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Let that sink in a little bit. Get busy about what your support. Doing what God wants, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should set forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. If you've been called out of darkness, I was called out of darkness one time. I was called out of darkness one time into the glorious light of Jesus' love, into the glorious light of His Spirit running through. If you've been called out of darkness into light, I'm going to tell you, you're peculiar. People are going to know that you're peculiar. They're going to know that you're different. They're going to know that there's a difference about you. That's what the Word says, and praise God this morning. That's exactly what it means. If we are called out, we are different. We're peculiar. We shouldn't act like the rest of the world. Stand up. We should stand. Jeremiah 32:19, great in counsel and mighty in works. You know what he's saying? Great is our purpose and mighty are our deeds. That's what he's talking about there. You look it up and read. Praise God. We have a purpose. We have a place in this world that we need to stand up and let them know that Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. They may not want to hear it. They may not even want to listen to you about it. But praise God, and I'll tell you what, the King is coming. The King hasn't split the eastern sky yet. He hasn't called us home yet. Keep standing till the King comes. A lady stood up at awakening night last Wednesday and gave a testimony. And I want to give this to you. Those of you who are there heard this and understand what this lady said. She said this. She was in the hospital. And she said at the hospital, she said that while she was there, she had never done this before, but the Holy Spirit impressed upon her. There was a lady behind a curtain right there. It was up in Columbus, I think, where she told me, where the testimony was from. A lady behind this curtain. She said the Lord told her. No, I'm sorry, I got to back up. She was in another room. She was in another room totally. And the Lord told her that she needed to go down the hallway and testify to this lady. Well, she didn't do it. Well, lo and behold, they moved her. They moved her down the hall for no reason, put her in this room. She was still scared to death. She said, the Lord impressed upon her, you need to go over and talk to her. So the doctors are in there talking to this lady. The doctors leave. She said it was so strong, she gets up, she pulls the curtains back, and she tells this lady. She said, listen, she said, God loves you. She said, I'm just here to tell you God loves you and he wants you to go to heaven with him. She told him this stuff. She got done. They exchanged telephone numbers and stuff. She prayed with her. She was bad shape, this lady was. She exchanged telephone numbers with her, said, you call me and I'll call you. That lady died that night. It's imperative us. When the Holy Spirit impresses upon us to do something, we need to stand and go do it right then. We need to do that. I thought when I listened to that testimony, I just about broke my heart. Because there are times that you and I, you know, well, how many times do we just sit back and say, well, Lord, let somebody else do it. No, it is you that God has impressed to do that. Until the King comes back, we need to defend. We ought to define and we ought to deliver the Word of God. I'm going to say something right here, right now. Because I've heard things out of some so-called Bible colleges here lately. Some so-called Bible colleges. I would not send a Shetland pony to a Bible college to learn woe, yee-haw, or back up. I'm just here to tell you, there's some of these Bible colleges I would not send them to. I would not send one to a Bible college that does not stand for the Word of God and believes that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? I wouldn't do it. I'm just not going to do it. If they don't teach that the Bible is infallible and inerrant, I don't care if it says Bible college above it. I wouldn't send it to them because the Bible is infallible. The Bible is inerrant. Stand up. The King hasn't come back yet. Amen? He hasn't come back yet. I praise God here this morning that I know maybe I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. The priority of everyone in this church should be this. The same priority as the King. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to keep standing until He comes. Matthew 24:14-30, the parable of the talents. I want to read part of it together with you. I want to read this the 24th down through there a little bit to the 30th verse. If you would, you can turn there. If not, just read along with me. We didn't have time to get all the scripture up on the screen this morning, so just bear with me on this. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that in thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, gathers where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that has not shall he be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, that's just very plain when we're talking about the parable of the talents. We know that some were given an amount. Everybody was given a talent. Everybody in here has been given something. Everybody in this church, if you're a Christian, you have been giving something. God expects something in return for it. He does. He expects something in return for it. This prophet, this servant here, he said, well, now I'm just going to, I've got the one talent. I'm going to just go ahead and just not do anything with it. He thought, well, he just get by. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, we just don't get by. Praise his name this morning. The king is coming back. I'll close with this. You may have fooled the Sunday school teacher. You may have fooled the preacher. You may have fooled your mom and dad. You may have fooled your grandma and grandpa. You may have fooled a bunch of people. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you're not going to fool the king. You're not going to fool. You're not going to fool him. You're not going to fool the thief that's coming in tonight. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. He's coming back one of these days. He knows real jewel from cubic zirconium too. Amen? He knows who's fake and who's false. He knows it. He knows exactly. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of the crown and lifted up as in sign upon the land. We cannot shut down. There's no place for that now. The world needs us. We are that peculiar people. We are that people that goes out and talks to this world when they don't want to hear what we have to say sometimes. When they say that we're crazy. You ever heard the song, we're casting crowns, crazy people? Amen. Just listen to that. Who goes and picks a fight? Crazy people. With a giant. It's crazy people. Amen. I'm here to tell you right now, praise God this morning, we are that peculiar generation. Keep standing till the Lord comes back. Amen. We can get a song this morning if we don't care, please.